She was not. She would rather have had him at her side, as an attainted traitor, with her in the drudgery of the day and in the warm silence of the night. Anything rather than ennobled as a handsome favourite at another woman's court. She knew from this that she was a jealous wife, and jealousy was a sin in the eyes of God. She put her head down and trudged onto the meadows where the cows grazed on the thin grass, churning up sepia earth and flints beneath their clumsy hooves. How could we end up like this? She whispered to the stormy sky, piling up a brooding castle of clouds over Norfolk. Since I love him so much, and since he loves me, since there is no one for us but each other, how could he leave me to struggle here and dash off to her? How could it start so well? In such wealth and glory as it did, and end in hardship and loneliness like this. 1 year earlier, summer 1557. In his dream, he saw once again the rough floorboards of the empty room, the sandstone mantelpiece over the big fireplace with their names carved into it, and the leaded window set high in the stone wall. By dragging the big refectory table over to the window, climbing up and craning their necks to look downward, the five young men could see the green below, where their father came slowly out to the scaffold and mounted the steps. He was accompanied by a priest of the newly restored Roman Catholic Church. He had repented of his sins and recanted his principles. He had begged for forgiveness and slavishly apologized. He had thrown away all fidelity for the chance of forgiveness, and by the anxious turning of his head as he searched the faces of the small crowd, he was hoping for the arrival of his pardon at this late, this theatrical moment. He had every reason to hope. The new monarch was a Tudor, and the Tudors knew the power of appearances. She was devout, and surely would not reject a contrite heart. But more than anything else, she was a woman. A soft-hearted, thick-headed woman. She would never have the courage to take the decision to execute such a great man. She would never have the stamina to hold her decision. Stand up, father, Robert urged him silently. The pardon must come at any moment. Don't lower yourself by looking for it. The door behind Robert opened, and a jailer came in and laughed raucously to see the five young men up at the window, shading their eyes against the brilliant midsummer sun. Don't jump, he said. Don't rob the axeman, bonny lads. It'll be you five next and the pretty maid. I will remember you for this, after our pardons have come and after we are released, Robert promised him, and turned his attention back to the green. The jailer checked the thick bars on the window and saw that the men had nothing that could break the glass, and then went out, still chuckling, and locked the door. Below on the scaffold, the priest stepped up to the condemned man, and read him prayers from his Latin Bible. Robert noticed how the wind caught the rich vestments and made them billow like the sails of an invading armada. Abruptly, the priest finished, held up a crucifix for the man to kiss, and stepped back. Robert found he was suddenly cold, chilled to ice by the glass of the window where he was resting his forehead, and the palms of his hands as if the warmth of his body was bleeding out of him, sucked out by the scene below. On the scaffold, his father knelt humbly before the block. The axeman stepped forward and tied the blindfold over his eyes. He spoke to him. The prisoner turned his bound head to reply. Then, dreadfully, it seemed as if that movement had disoriented him. He had taken his hands from the executioner's block, and he could not find it again. He started to feel for it, hands outstretched. The executioner had turned to pick up his axe, and when he turned back, his prisoner was near to falling, scrabbling about. Alarmed, the hooded executioner shouted at the struggling prisoner, and the prisoner plucked at the bandage over his eyes, calling that he was not ready, that he could not find the block, that the axe must wait for him. "Be still," Robert hollered, hammering against the thick glass of the window. "Father, be still, for God's sake, be still." "Not yet," cried the little figure on the green to the axeman behind him. "I can't find the block,